This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, welcome back. Jeff Lagerman is en route to the Jaguars locker room. We'll have the first word with head coach Gus Bradley coming shortly. Until then, Tony Boselli and I are in the Jaguars broadcast position in the press box here at Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll go through some of the numbers. It's our Comcast Business Final Fast Stats Check. Jags finish, believe it or not, with 350 yards of offense. Didn't seem like they had that many yards, Tony.
Yeah, it was a lot of it, though.
Late.
When it didn't matter.
Yeah, no.
When it counted, very few yards. The first
126 in the first half.
Well, the first three drives, nine plays.
Yeah. Jags finished with 350, 308 from the passing game, 42 on the ground. Only controlled the ball for 26 minutes. Here are the numbers for Chad Henne. 30 of 51, 59%, 331 yards. One touchdown, one interception, sacked three times. Passer rating of 76.5. But you know that what you don't capture there in that stats line is just how ineffective he was today. He was off the mark on a lot of throws.
Was not his best day. And I mean, go back to the end of the first half when you're down 17-3, you're driving, and a ball floats on him. None of us could figure out why it floated pretty much down, you know, the half, you know, the right half of the field, well in bounds, and an easy interception that made it a 20-3 game after the Colts turned that into a field goal. So you had a chance to make it a one-score game before the halftime, couldn't get it done, and next time thing you do is you look up and it's a 20-3 lead, you're going in, and really at that point, the game's pretty much out of reach.
Here are his receiving numbers. Kerry Taylor with a career-high 8 catches for 75 yards, which is also a career-high and a touchdown. Ace Sanders had 6 catches for 50 yards today. Maurice Jones-Drew 5 for 51. Mercedes Lewis made 3 for 70 yards, including a 36-yarder, which was the long for the game. Mike Brown had 3 for 43. Clay Harbor just 2 for 11 before leaving the ball game with an injured ankle. The Jaguars' rushing attack only produced 42 yards. Maurice had 13 of those carries for 39 of those yards. Jordan Todman had 2 for 3 yards, and Chad Henne had 1 for a stop at the line of scrimmage. You know, really no reason to go through the numbers for the Colts other than to say that Andrew Luck was excellent today, threw a touchdown, and his leading receiver was T.Y. Hilton, who had 11 for 155 yards and a 41-yard long. You know, let's talk about Chad Henne real quick, because I think we've all come to the realization that it's likely that he comes back next year. Jaguars will undoubtedly draft a quarterback as well, but Henne started and got the Jaguars their 4 wins, and so you kind of get the sense that he'll be back. Threw for more than 3,000 yards on the year, 13 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Your thoughts on Chad Henne and what he's capable of and what he brings back if they do re-sign him, because he is a free agent after this year.
Well, I do think they'll re-sign him, and I think what he brings back is a veteran presence, a good guy who's a leader and I think can fill the role until you find that guy, until you find your franchise quarterback, and he's a guy who got better throughout the year. He was improved as the year went on.
Well, he was good the last couple of weeks. Not great, good.
But without
Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackmon.
And a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have Luke Jokel. Eugene Monroe was traded way, way, way back in
which
October.
Which I think made him better.
Which made the Jaguars better.
Yeah,
but, I mean, you're still talking about a lot of the guys that they thought they would have when the season began were not here when the season ended.
Sure.
And so, as a result, when you evaluate Chad Henne, you have to look at all of that. Now, you know, he made some bad throws today. He did not have a good game.
No.
But overall, second half of the season, 4-4. I think he finished with 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions in the month of December. I mean, that's what he is. If you look at his numbers statistically, he's behind in terms. He's got more interceptions than touchdowns, and his passer rating's in the 70s. But that's what you're looking for in terms of a backup quarterback, right?
I think I'm correct in saying he's never finished a season with more touchdowns than interceptions.
No, and this year he finishes with 13 and 14. You know, you'd like him to be better, but
sure.
You also understand that you're going to go out and draft somebody.
Like
who that is a long way from being determined right now.
Like to have better talent around him, too.
Yeah, and you know, we start talking about where the Jaguars are and what they need and what you decide is coming back. You know, Cecil Shorts is under contract, and so is Justin Blackmon, but he has to be reinstated by the league.
Let's not count on that.
Well, I don't think anyone is.
No.
You know, so receiver is going to be a position the Jaguars are going to have to address in the offseason.
Now, are you disappointed? That's a big question everyone wants to know.
Disappointed in what?
You didn't get to see Blaine Gabbert one last time.
I would have liked to have seen him one more time.
No, I know you would.
Yeah, I would.
I'm being serious.
And talking to some of the coaches, I think they would have liked to have seen him one more time, too. Am I disappointed? No, because I think it's already been decided that he will not be here. So it doesn't make sense for the franchise. And I've said this over and over. He's a big, strong guy. And according to the head coach, he's gotten better. Well, there's a lot of players who've gotten better over the second half of the season. Who's to say that he didn't get better? And we didn't get a chance to see that. So, yes, I would have liked to have seen it one more time. C'est la vie. It is what it is. You're not going to see it. He'll be playing somewhere else, I think, in 2014.
Yeah, you'd be shocked if he came back.
Yeah. Yeah, especially even if the guys go draft someone.
Even if he's under contract, I just don't see him
coming back. But now, and again, he's 24 years old. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes and finds success somewhere. I'm not saying he's going to be a Super Bowl coach, but he's a long way from being out of the National Football League. He's got a special arm, and he can do a lot of things with it. But whether he can ever be a quarterback, that remains to be seen. So there's the quarterback position. I think we spent a lot of time today talking about Maurice Jones-Drew and whether this is his final game. You know, as I look at the running back group, if you don't bring Maurice Jones-Drew back, you got to go draft somebody. Maybe even go look at a free agent. I know Justin Forsett was brought in that role last year, didn't finish the season. But Jordan Todman, you know, he had one good game, but I'm not sold that he is a guy that you can give the ball to on a regular basis.
But I think you can find, listen, I'm not saying you're going to find Maurice Jones-Drew.
No.
But you can go find a guy who's good out of the backfield, good, you know, run-pass guy, whether it's late in the draft, whether it's out of free agency. I think those individuals are available. I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with MJD. I just don't know if they bring him back.
81 career touchdowns, the all-time leader in that category for the Jaguars. Number two in rushing yards, number two in all-purpose yards, and number three in yards from scrimmage. And that's a decision that will have to be made over the next couple of months. We've talked about receiver. You got a couple of guys here you'd like to compete for your third and fourth and fifth spot.
Yeah, I don't know if you have a one or a two right now.
What's Cecil on his best day?
I think he's a two.
Okay. And then you got to figure out whether or not Justin Blackman's going to get reinstated. He's still on the roster in this week. Jed Fish said he's going to plan that he's going to be there because he is still on the roster.
Yeah, I think Justin right now, I mean, he's still so young. I mean, he's not a guy who's going to stretch the field, take the top off the defense. They don't have that guy on the roster.
No.
I mean, even Cecil's not that guy. I mean, Cecil's a good receiver. I mean, he's a good two. And you wonder, you know, can Justin become the go-to guy, that number one threat? If he is, then you still got to find the guy who's going to stretch the field. And it's just, I don't think it's in the building right now.
On the defensive side of the ball, you know, they manufactured a pass rush this year. 31 sacks, they'll finish near the bottom of the National Football League. But when you consider what they did that with, a lot of the same guys they had last year, and that's an increase of 11 sacks, it's more than 50% from last year. I don't know whether Babin is back because his salary cap number and his age. You know, Andre Branch is a guy, and Jeff has said it time and again, you know, he does some things when you create for him, but he has to learn how to create on his own. And, you know, that's a skill. Maybe he has it, maybe he doesn't. So you're looking for a pass rusher for sure. You're looking for linebackers. You know, the second half of the season, the Jaguars played defense at times pretty well.
Yeah, but they
not the last 3 weeks.
The players did a good job, but I give a lot of credit to Bob Babich and the rest of the coaches. You know, Todd Wash, the D-line coach, I thought he did an outstanding job. So, yeah, I mean, you need front seven help. You know, listen, the secondary, he's young. I thought they got better. I think Jonathan Cyprian's a star in the making. He has great, you know, grots. You'd like to see a little bit more consistency as far as the injury bug got him a little bit this year. So that is a concern. But you got to feel good about him being a solid guy you're going to build around. I thought Alan Ball was a great free agent signing. Will Blackman. I mean, did a good job.
Came in at the end of August.
Josh Evans. So you like that. And I thought Dwayne Walker, the defensive backs coach, did an outstanding job with that young group and molding them. So that's a positive, something you can build on.
All right, let's hear from the head coach who joins Jeff Loggeman in the Jaguars locker room here at Lucas Oil Stadium. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Gus, obviously a tough way to start. In the first series, you end up fumbling the ball, have an interception late in the first half. But you can't give good teams the ball and let them score that early.
No, I mean, give credit to them. They're really, really a good team. They execute on all three phases, offense, defense, special teams. And you're right, to come out and fumble the ball. And we just weren't on today. And, you know, we'll take a look at it on tape and find out why. But, you know, I think we've had some growth that took place, too.
All season long, I've been asking you to kind of look ahead and reflect, but you really haven't done it. This is the last game of the year. You had in the first half 0-8, but you finished the second half of the season at 4-4. Your goal this season was to get better. Do you feel like you've accomplished that?
We did. You know what? And I think in many ways that maybe aren't seen in the win-loss column. I think, you know, to change a culture like we did, to change a standard, to elevate and create a new standard of what's acceptable, the culture of the locker room, the culture of the organization, all those things. We had big victories in those areas. And, you know, our hopes is that that will just keep growing and help eventually in the win column.
But at the same time, you feel like you've made progress, but also there's a lot of room to still go.
Well, yeah, when you see a game like this, you realize maybe just some areas that we need to improve on. And then some of it are just things that we can control. But I really do like this team, how they handle diversity, they handle prosperity, and we continue to grow. And we'll grow from this game as well.
Injuries, Clay Harbor left the game with an ankle. Jordan Miller looked like he left the game. Any others to report?
No, I think that's it. That's all that were brought to my attention.
Thank you, Gus, and I appreciate it all year.
No, thank you very much, you guys.
All right, that's head coach Gus Bradley in the aftermath of the Jaguars' 30-10 loss to the Indianapolis Colts today. You also heard there the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. When we return, we'll go inside the Jaguars' locker room with Jeff here on Jaguars Radio. Our broadcast today is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished, 30-10. The Colts finish off the Jaguars in their season 4-12. It is a two-game improvement on last year. That's been the theme all season long. Our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP receives a Bueller Swiss Watch, the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, Hope Jewelers also in Jacksonville. And our final Bueller Swiss Watch MVP of the season is Brad Meester. He joins Jeff now.
Well, not really Brad Meester, but we're actually giving the watch to your wife, Brad. Congratulations. This is it. That's the last game you'll ever play in pro football.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe it's finally come. You know, after 14 years, this day is finally here. And it'll be a day that I always remember because, you know, I got a chance to play out in front of my entire family. You know, I had 40-some family members here. People came from Jacksonville to, you know, all my family, aunts and uncles drove over from Iowa. Got a chance to see my last game, and that's what means the most to me.
I think the older you get, the more reflective you get, and the more, I guess you could say, analytical sometimes that you get. You've had a chance to watch this new regime from beginning to this point. What are your thoughts on the future with Gus Bradley and also David Caldwell?
I'm excited about the future of this team. We are definitely headed in the right direction, are doing great things here. I'm excited to see what they're going to do in the offseason and what's coming up for next year because, I mean, this is going to be the team to watch. I truly believe that, and I'm going to be there watching. I'm excited to see what they can do.
What's the one thing you're going to miss the most?
I think just the stuff hanging out with the guys in the locker room. The memories that we make on the field, even the practice field, you know, just joking around with each other about it. That's the thing I'm going to miss. It's just those times we have in the locker room or in our meeting rooms.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Congratulations on 14 years.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Jeff, he leaves with 209 career starts and 90 consecutive. Big Bo, let's do something different with the Bud Light play of the game. I mean, it was at the end of the game. It wasn't anything big. How about? Well, it wasn't. I mean, who are we kidding, right?
I disagree with you.
No one who's listening right now thinks, well, there was a Bud Light play of the game. But give me your Bud Light play of the season, that play that stood out to you that you will remember from the 2013 season.
I mean, come on. It's obvious. I mean, I think if I gave you about 2 seconds.
Well, I know exactly. I know what
it's Brad Meester on the screen. And for me, personally.
All right, I wasn't going to go with that one, but I know why you did.
As an offensive lineman, as a guy who played with Brad Meester, I like what Brad Meester stands for. I like the pro that he is. I like what he's done as a Jaguar. He had a fabulous career. That play,
okay,
I will remember. Right.
And
the
time. I will go with the honest to goodness football play, and I will go with the sack, strip, fumble recovery, touchdown for Will Blackman that won the Jaguars their first game of the season in Indianapolis, in Tennessee, right after the bye week. I thought, you know, as big a play as you could ask for. You know, Blackman comes in on August 28th, and really delivered the win there. And Jaguars got a little momentum second half of the season, finish 4-4 in the second half and 4-12 on the season. So the Bud Light play of the season is still going to be Meester.
I don't appreciate how you described my play. Well, I'm going to choose an honest to goodness real play.
Well, like, a play that helps a play that helped
Mr. Highfalutin, Mr. Play-by-play guy.
Well, a play that actually helped him win a football game.
Sorry, mine didn't qualify.
No.
Hey, Meester, he just told you basically your play stunk.
No, I did not. You're putting words in my mouth.
I was offended by that. I think the Meester play was outside them all.
Look, the Meester play is the one that we will all remember on the season. We can't let Will Blackman's, though, because it got the Jaguars their first win. So we'll go with that. That's our Bud Light play of the season brought to you by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. I want to thank Brent Martineau for his work all season long. Don't start the music yet. I'm not ready. All season long on the sidelines. He had a couple of weather challenges out there, but he did a heck of a job.
He did a great job. It was fun having Brent down there. He chased down all the big breaking news on the sidelines, injuries, and what was happening. He was outstanding.
He'd like more time, and I said, so would I.
Yeah, too bad.
I would like more time as well. John Dineen made the trip to every road game this year from Atlantic Beach. Helped us with stats, helped us as an associate producer, helps us with the equipment every week. We certainly appreciate John and the commitment that he's made to our broadcast team. Scott Kushner, our engineer. Scott's quiet, good man, does a great job. Joe Fortunato thinks he's obnoxious when he gets a little scotch in him. But, you know, we're not going to tell those stories on the air. And then, as we've said all season long, look, there is no better radio producer in the National Football League. And if you don't believe it, just ask him, right?
He is a great one. A
legend in his own mind.
A legend that is.
He never stops talking about himself. No, he's
quite remarkable.
He's really good, folks. We just have to straighten him out every once in a while.
I don't like him much, but he is remarkable.
And it's been a fun year having you in the booth. I mean, welcome. At times it was not the most fun when you're 0-8. And every loss is by double digits. In fact, I think I asked you at one point, do you wish you were still doing the games for Westwood One and out there traveling the country getting to see some better games? And your answer was?
No, I love it. I love being a part of the organization. It's been what a ride. Fun with you and Jeff up
at the booth. Enjoyed year one.
Traveling. And I like being a part of what Gus Bradley's doing.
And I think we'll have a lot of fun when this team gets to where Gus has them headed. So let me ask you one final question before we sign it off. How far can they get this offseason? They don't have their franchise quarterback. So does that mean until they get that guy that their ability to really compete is limited, or can they make great headway if Chad Henne has to be the quarterback next year but they put talent around him?
Well, I think you can make great headway. They're going to draft number three overall most likely once the strength
of schedule comes
up. But most likely. That's where it looks like they're going to land. So they're going to get good players, and they have 10 draft picks right now. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some wheeling and dealing to get a couple more. And you look what Dave Caldwell did in the draft this past year and the contribution those guys made. I think you can get a lot of good players and become much better. Listen, the Colts are the class of the AFC South right now.
6-0 in the AFC South.
They're not unbeatable, though.
Jags had the second best record in the AFC South in terms of the conference, a division record 3-3.
So I think you can make a big jump. I do.
All right.
I'm not making any predictions of playoffs or anything, but I think they can make a significant jump again under Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley.
All right. Well, that'll do it from here. Don't forget, we have the Gus Bradley Show for those of you on the Jaguars Radio Network Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And much more to come from JP and Marco and Jay Gray, all coming forward here after we sign it off. So for Tony Buscelli and Jeff Loggeman, thanks for joining us all season long here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody. Happy New Year.
Jaguars postgame rolls along the unhappy final at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. The Colts, the division champs, play like it today. They beat the Jags 30-10. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman in the HananiaAutos.com studios back in Jacksonville. This started poorly. It didn't get much better as the day went on, but the season is over. Tough way to end it.
Yeah, it's a tough way to end it, but at the same time, this team played against another team like the early part of the season. Yep. A team that's in a different position. You know, although this is the second year of Andrew Luck and the head coach, they are already on the roster and as far as the personnel beyond or further along than what the Jaguars are right now, and that was evident in the way that this game went about.
Yeah, an early turnover, third play of the game. Jones-Drew fumbles for the first time in a couple of seasons, actually since 2011. It was the last time he lost a fumble. Touchdown for Brown, touchdown for Richardson, three and outs for the Jags. And all of a sudden, 17-0. And like you said, this Indianapolis team has the division where they want it right now. They're 6-0. They finish undefeated in the division. Mm-hmm. They have control of whatever they want to do right now in the AFC South.
Yeah, you got to, you know, Indy, they beat San Francisco. They beat Seattle. They beat Denver. They beat Kansas City.
But they have some weird losses, too.
Yeah, they lost to St. Louis.
Yeah.
I mean, but this team is definitely, you know, you don't hear a lot of the mainstream media talking about Indianapolis being a front runner or being even considered to make it to that Super Bowl. But if you think about the teams they've beaten, division winners, you know, in Seattle and in Denver, and runner-ups in Kansas City and in San Francisco, significant team. So the Jaguars, again, in the last game, just like they did at the start of the season, played against a very tough opponent, and you see how far they have to go as far as with the roster and the level of talent they have to really compete within really just the division.
Let's get into the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game. Let's get away from the game. The game is what it
is.
30-10 final. Let's talk about this season. The Jags were 4-1 coming out of the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And the hottest team in the AFC at that point. But they finish 0-3. Why the slide at the end?
Well, you know, when they were winning their games, they did a great job of not turning the ball over, defense getting turnovers, the offense getting off the fast starts, sustaining drives, the defense being dominant against the run and doing things, limiting big plays. But in the losses, in those last three games, they started to turn the ball over. You know, you figure they were limited in the offensive drives. They didn't get off to those fast starts. The defense was allowing teams to rush the ball and give up the big plays. And, again, those turnovers. Today was an example of it, giving that ball away against really good teams, results in losses.
And Gus Bradley will never say injuries were an issue, but, some guys banged up at the end, attrition, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, but every team does. You know, you can go down the whole list of all the teams in the league. Everyone's got somebody out, and that's the job of the general management is to make sure that you have depth, because the inevitable in this league is injuries. You can count on them.
Jaguars finished this season. This is question number two. They're 4-12.
Mm.
Is this a positive year? Was this a positive season?
I would have to say yes. I mean, I think a really good foundation was laid. You know, behind Gus's philosophy with this roster, you got to give some consideration of what he had to work with. I think it's going to help him building a winning team. You know, when they begin to add more players and they continue to play with this type of mentality, because they did a good job of staying with it with the way that they started out the season. Being 0-8, that's tough to go out and still perform. And to go and put together wins and still play at a really high level and compete, I mean, it's a testament to the coach and what type of philosophy, the mindset he's trying to build within the locker room, and I think that's going to bode well for the future.
Final question for you. The most valuable player of the season, Mark. Who you got?
I'm going to have to give it to Paz, man. I mean, you figure this guy was one of the tops in leagues in tackles, two interceptions, scored a touchdown, three sacks. I mean, he was a mainstay right there in that middle. I think if you had looked up and down this roster, he was probably the most consistent player, stayed fairly healthy. You know, Paz Lesny, definitely MVP of the Jaguars 2013 season.
Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game. Final score from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Colts 30, Jaguars 10. When we come back, I'll listen to the Metro PCS Sexton summary, the highlights from the season finale. Jags finished the season 4-12. The Colts are into the postseason on a roll now at 11-5. 30-10 the final. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Final score in week 17 at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. The Colts headed to the postseason. They are division champs. They finish the season 6-0 in the AFC South, with a 30-10 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jags finished 4-12 in the season, two-game improvement from a year ago when they were 2-14. They changed all the brass, of course. New GM, new head coach, new culture.
New helmets.
New uniforms. And new scoreboards coming next year, too. So a lot new still coming in the years to come. The Jags 4-12, Colts are 11-5 headed into the postseason. Let's get into the Metro PCS Sexton summary for this one. The highlights, well, it was a low light early. First drive, third play from scrimmage. First lost fumble for Maurice Jones-Drew in a long, long time. Turned it over deep in their own territory.
Here's the handoff. Stretch play. There goes Maurice McClure across the 40. He lost the ball, and the Colts have recovered at the Jacksonville 47-yard line. I think it was kicked out of his hand.
Mojo lost it. Set up on the 42-yard line going in for Indianapolis. The touchdown drive goes 8 plays, 42 yards. Brown from a yard out.
Split receivers, two tight ends inside the one. Luck will turn and hand it off to Donald Brown, who leaps over the top of the pile for an Indianapolis touchdown.
7-0 at that point. Three and out for the Jags. Set up another drive. 7 plays, 54 yards for the Colts this time. Trent Richardson from 2 yards away, 14-0.
And Luck will hand the ball to Richardson, running to the left side. The Jaguars can't get him. Touchdown, Indianapolis.
14-0. Vinatieri hits a field goal in the first quarter as well. 17-0. Scobie for the Jags early in the second. From 37 yards away into 11 play, 41-yard drive, 17-3 at that point. Henny was picked off late in the second quarter by Bethea. That set up another Vinatieri field goal, 20-3. The halftime score, Indianapolis on top. Well, the Colts got the ball to begin the second half. First drive, 7 plays, 75 yards. Luck to Whalen, a 7-yard touchdown.
That first and goal, this seven looks right now, wants to come back, left turns and fires. Griff Whalen's got a touchdown.
Yeah, that is just way too easy.
27-3 at that point. Vinatieri later in the ballgame hits a 39-yard field goal, made it 30-3. This was all Colts, and then late, only seconds to play. Henny finally gets on the board. Henny to Taylor, a 14-yard touchdown.
20 seconds left. The Jags have it first and 10 at the 13-yard line. And he slings it to the end zone. He's got Kerry Taylor, touchdown, Jacksonville.
Nice catch.
And that's how it would end. 30-10, the final score. Indianapolis finishes the season 11-5. They're the AFC South Division champs. The Jags finish the year 4-12. And they're looking forward to the draft and next season. Those are the Metro PCS Sexton summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. 30-10 final. When we come back, Marco Coleman back with us. We'll break down this game a little more. Look forward to next season as well. That's after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. Welcome back to Jaguars postgame. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Final score from Indianapolis. The Colts over the Jags 30-10 in the season finale. Jags finish 4-12. Let's get into this game, maybe for the last time in this show tonight.
Okay.
This is
cool.
The last week of the season. Jags are 4-12. The draft's coming up and all that. But in this game today, the Jags, Chad Henne was just not great, to be quite honest with you. He had worked through the last few weeks and played okay, well enough to manage this team and get some things done, but was just not sharp today at all.
Yeah, and you figure his numbers really don't tell the tale. You figure he ended up with 331 yards passing. What is it, 51 attempts, which is what, third in the
tied for third most in team history.
Yeah. The throws on several of his passes, the throws were just not good, and you saw also that. The wide receiving core. He really did not a lot of guys open. And again, no passes down the field. So that limits what you can actually do as a quarterback when you don't have all the tools. Also, to Henny's benefit. You figure also some drop balls by some guys. You had Noble drop a possible touchdown. You had a first down catch possibly by Mercedes that hit him right in the hands that he didn't catch. But again, Henny was not the Henny that we had seen in games of past. But at the same time, those were games against some of the poorest, some bad defenses also. This is a pretty good football team that they played today, and it definitely showed in the way that they played.
No doubt about it. Looking at some of these team statistics, it's ugly. Cover your eyes here. Total yardage is actually closer than you'd think because of the yards late for the Jags. 379 for the Colts, 350 for the Jags. Rushing yardage, Colts had 80, you know, a couple of short yardage touchdowns early in the game for the Colts, but got out to that early lead and just carried things on. You know, let's go individually now on some of this. Maurice Jones-Drew may or may not be his last game with the Jags. We're not sure. He'll be a free agent. 13 carries, 39 yards today, 3 yards per carry, a long of 6. Just the last couple of weeks playing through that hamstring injury, but still out there giving it all, you know, but just didn't have the results today.
Yeah, you figure that the most important time for a football player is the offseason. And Maurice went into the offseason without being able to work out significantly, a significant portion of it. Trying to get in shape during training camp is not really the best way to go about it, especially for a running back. And you see, as you know, he had a couple of games where he got the 100 yards, but this entire season you just didn't see the burst. The Maurice Jones-Drew that we know of, and today was another example of that. You know, when he got a chance to get out, normally kills Indianapolis. He wasn't able to make the big plays that he normally, you know, that he's normally able to do against the Colts.
Let's get into let's pick an offensive player of this game. Well, it's hard to do, obviously. Who you got though? That's why you're here, Marco.
That's why I'm here to go. I'm gonna go with Taylor. I mean, Kerry Taylor.
Okay.
You know, a guy that has been bounced around the league. You know, been on a couple different teams, practice squads, cut, moving around. I mean, but here it is. You know, the game had 8 catches, 75 yards, got him a touchdown. I think he actually earned himself a chance next season going to training camp to really compete for a spot.
Defensively, who you got today?
Defensively, I'm going to have to go with the young guy, Cyprian. You know, I really
– He's impressed all year.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, his range. Early on in the game, the way he was coming off this hash and making those tackles, the pass breakups, he really improved. And you see they have a really strong foundation in that secondary with him being that leader. I look forward to him continuing to grow. Hopefully this offseason he spends a lot of time to, you know, get better at what he does. I look for a significant improvement for him again next year and being even better and making a big difference in the way that defense plays in the pass defense.
Those are the offensive defensive players of the game. Final score in Indianapolis today. Colts over the Jags 30-10. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll go through the season stats. A little forecasting for next year. Who's going to be back around? Who may or may not be back around? Marco, that's on you.
Oh.
Get ready.
Put on my GM hat.
That's right. GM Marco Coleman will join us after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Gates. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Final score from Indianapolis, the Colts over the Jags 30-10 in the season finale. Jags finished the season 4-12. You heard Tony Boselli earlier say Jags probably third in the draft order, depending on strength of schedule, how all that sorts out over the next few hours here with the remaining games. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Let's go big here, Marco, and look at some of these season stats. Let's start with the most important position on the field, Chad Henne. Finishes the season with 3,241 yards passing, 13 touchdowns, 14 picks, 76.5 rating. It's only the eighth time ever a Jags quarterback has had over 3,000 yards in a season. But as we've said, a lot of these postgame shows, those stats lie quite a bit of how this team really performed. A lot of those were late in games. If you're GM Marco Coleman, is the Jags quarterback – is any Jag quarterback on this roster right now next year?
Well, you know, I think Henne will probably be a backup. He's a free agent, you know, so there may be some offers for him to be a backup some other place. And I'm sure Henne, you know, at this point, I don't know if he want to go after the money or the potential to, you know, where the situation lies for him. But having the third pick, the Jaguars will have an opportunity, I think, legitimately a really good young quarterback. And Henne as a backup or a guy to maybe start the season off for a rookie before, you know, until he kind of matures and gets himself in a position to play would definitely fit. There's not too many other free agent quarterbacks that wouldn't, you know, that would, I guess, fit the role as possibly being a backup. The rest of these guys like Cutler, these guys that are also free agents, those guys want to be starters. You don't get those guys to come in and hold the clipboard. So, like, see, we got like Cutler. Mike Vick could be a decent backup.
Oh, boy.
Josh McCown, Josh Freeman. These guys, those are like the top free agent quarterbacks aside from, you know, our guy Henne. So, yeah, I think they will. I think, you know, it's worth bringing them back to to back up and be a role model for a young quarterback.
Tell you what, in the locker room on a day-to-day basis, very well respected, works the room very well, and he's a salty vet. He's been around 6 years, going on seven now, and he understands his role. You know, if he's not, even if he's not a starter, when he was backing up Blaine, he understood that and remained ready to go in when he needed to. He understood his role now, just to manage this team, do what he could.
Yeah,
and that's a smart guy.
I agree. Like I said, I think Henny. I think it would bode well for the team to bring him back, if, especially if they're going to be picking a young quarterback, because the learning curve for most young quarterbacks is, you know, it's only a few Russell Wilsons and Andrew Lux. Those don't come around a whole lot. So you'll have to have some stabilizer within that meeting room to kind of help that young guy and grooming him. And why not Chad Henne?
Okay, GM Marco Coleman. Maurice Jones-Drew had 803 yards on the ground this year, 5 touchdowns, 314 in the air. Was banged up quite a bit this season. He's getting a little long in the tooth, pushing 30 years old. Is he back in a Jaguars uniform?
Well, I would probably allow him to see what the market is out there for him. You know, what type of money does he think he can possibly get on another team? And after that is done, you know, offer him, you know, market rate for, you know, what he's worth. Because I think you bring him back because of what he means for the organization right now. He has the most touchdowns at any player. I think he's second in the rushing list. So you have an opportunity to now have him come, like Brad Meester, have a player that can retire as a Jaguar and, you know, and really have a lot of fanfare with all the different records that could be broken, which I think that says a lot about a team to have record holders and keeping them in-house. You know, as you see a lot of the historical teams like the Green Bay Packers, the Dallas Cowboys, they have players that have been around a while, set some records, you know, and also big-time fan favorite, hometown favorites. So let him check out the market, then offer him a deal.
But, okay.
And if he can get a whole bunch, I wouldn't give him too much more. It wouldn't be a whole lot of money. So
fair enough.
I think that's about a 50-50 deal there, depending on how much he can get.
Receivers, Cecil Shorts III will be back around after his sports hernia surgery. Sanders, of course, back. Mike Brown, a guy like Harbor. You look at Taylor, like we talked about. Those are guys that will be, you know, kind of on the bubble there going into camp and see what happens. But the real question mark is going to be if Blackman's reinstated, when that happens, if it happens, all that. You can't really count on that. But all the other guys, you got a couple guys that are going to be around. Short, Sanders really stepped out and had a good year.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have a good nucleus of young guys that are slot receivers, guys that are more possession-type receivers. You got to do something to get some guys down the field. You figure Henny, you know, averaged only 6.4 yards a pass play, which is not real – big, that's not going down the field. And in this league, you got to get them in bunches. You know, just trying to, you know, go with this 3 yards, 2 yards, that's going to be tough. And you saw that was part of the reason why they weren't able to move, sustain drives, no big plays. So getting a big wide receiver, I think they'll do that in the draft. I think there'll be some opportunities with all those picks that the Jaguars have to get another young guy, not knowing exactly the situation with Blackman.
Yeah, so. I think you have to get, if there's a receiver there, get him, because you don't know. You can't count on it. If Blackman's back, obviously that's a great bonus.
That's just gravy. I think he'll be back. It's just a matter of when.
Sure.
You know, and I think that, you know, like I said, he's probably like eighth game of the season next year, so you got to have someone, because the Jaguars, legitimately, if they just do enough things here in this roster, get a couple of free agents, I believe they can compete, be a lot more competitive within a division next year.
And on defense, you know, deep in the secondary, a lot of young guys should be back around. That shouldn't be much of an issue. You might see a couple of new faces at linebacker. Defensive front, don't be shocked to see another pass rusher around here at some point, right?
Yeah, and they locked down Marks, which is, you know, he's a solid player, but there's still no dominant defensive lineman. I mean, even with Marks, they're not going to game plan for Marks. I think you have to get someone in there that's going to be a lot more consistently disruptive. You lose Marks in several games. We didn't know where he was in quite a few games. So, you know, there's someone else that has to get there that demands a double team. I think also in the linebacker position, Russell Allen was a good fill-in, but you can upgrade at that position. Reynolds, as a young guy, like his aggressiveness, getting him out there and running around and playing, and running around with his helmet off on special teams and things of that nature, I think he'll be able to compete. Now he has a year under his belt, understands a little bit more about what's going on with the game. I think, you know, really when you talk about a pass rusher, our guy Davis, I think Ryan Davis is he can become that guy, given more opportunities. You figure it was just the latter part of the season where he really got going. So you may be able to find within. Davis was probably the most consistent pass rusher once he got a chance to play at all of the guys that were out there.
Great job, GM Marco Coleman.
Hey, man.
We'll see if it all comes true. How about that?
Let's see how it goes, baby.
4-12 finish for the Jags. They fall 30-10 to the Indianapolis Colts today. When we come back, we'll look around the National Football League scoreboard, playoff spots on the line in Week 17. Get you caught up on everything that has happened today and is currently happening in the 4 o'clock time slot. Busy day in the National Football League. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by GEICO. GEICO has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much GEICO's military discounts could save you. Go to GEICO.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local GEICO agent today. Final score at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, the Colts over the Jags 30-10 in the season finale. Jags fall to 4-12 on the regular season. Indianapolis 11-5. They're the AFC South Division champions and headed into the postseason. Let's look at the scores from Week 17 in the National Football League. Plenty of playoff spots on the line. We'll start with the games that are final. Well, neither one of these teams are going to the postseason. Giants over the Redskins, 20-6. The final score at MetLife Stadium. The Steelers are still alive. They get a win over the Browns today, 20-7. We'll tell you how they're still alive in just a moment. They're 8-8. That's how they'll finish the regular season. The Vikings over the Lions, 14-13, a final, a meaningless game. Jets beat the Dolphins today in Miami, 20-7. That helps Pittsburgh as well. Bengals beat the Ravens, 34-17. So the Ravens are done. They're out of the playoff race after a Super Bowl last year. They're out. They don't even make the tournament this year. So those two teams losing help Pittsburgh stay alive. It also helps San Diego, who's playing right now. If San Diego wins, they're in the wild card. If San Diego loses, the Steelers are in the wild card. So it goes to that San Diego game happening right now. The Texans fall. They lost their 14th consecutive game today. Finished 2-14. The Titans beat them 16-10. Another final. The Panthers win the NFC South. They beat the Falcons 21-20 in Atlanta. And really come from behind fashion. They were down early in that game. 14 points in the second, a touchdown in the third. Got it done today for Carolina. Games that are active. The Chiefs at the Chargers. Chiefs have a lot of starters on the bench today. But the Chiefs and Chargers tied 7-7. That's midway through the first quarter. And again, if the Chargers win, they're in. If they lose, then the Steelers somehow magically get into the postseason. Who would have thought that after the first month of this season? Rams at Seahawks. Seahawks lead 7-0. Niners lead the Cardinals 10-0 in Arizona. Saints, they got a win to get in this thing now. All of a sudden, it's 7-7 against Tampa. That's midway through the first. The Patriots and the Bills tied 3-3 midway through the first quarter. Broncos win home field advantage with a win today or a New England loss. They lead the Raiders 14-0. They're going for the points record today. And Peyton Manning is going for the yardage record today as well. He's not far away at all from getting that done going into this game. And for the NFC North Division title, Packers and Bears at snowy Soldier Field in Chicago. That's midway through the first quarter and no score. Rodgers was intercepted in the end zone for a touchback just a moment ago by Conte. And the Bears have the ball on their own 20-yard line. The Bears just scored, in fact. That's the latest update. So that's a look around the National Football League. Week 17, there is a nightcap tonight. Of course, a big game in the NFC East. Eagles and the Cowboys in Big D tonight. And that will cap off Week 17 in the NFL. A lot of great football left this afternoon and this evening. Final score in Indianapolis. The Colts over the Jags 30-10. When we come back, we'll wrap up the season. Week 17 is in the books. The Jags are looking forward to 2014. Marco Coleman will join us with some final thoughts after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by PRI Productions. Final score for the final time in Indianapolis today at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Colts over the Jaguars 30-10. Jags finished the 2013 regular season with a 4-12 record. Indy 11-5 headed on to the tournament. JP Shadrick with Marco Coleman. It's all over, Marco. It's pretty amazing how fast this thing goes.
It goes fast, man.
You know, there was some certainly the 0-8 start after the bye. This team caught fire, went 4-1, but you know, some attrition at the end hurt this team. Finished, lost the last three games of the season. But you heard Gus Bradley say he felt like there was improvement. They got a culture installed. They got some guys better. They got young guys competing, and there were victories in those departments. And it's a positive outlook moving forward, even with a 4-win record. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I have to agree with him. You know, you figure to go start out a season 0-8, the team did not fold up the tent and shut it down. And they got in against some teams that were a lot more, I guess, similar to theirs, and they showed that they were better football teams than they were. You saw sparks. You saw Henny perform well at times. You saw these young guys mature and, you know, and adapt to the philosophy and the mind state in which Gus Bradley has been interpreting to the team. So I think the needle is pointing up. Hopefully the draft and the players that they bring in, they pan out to be as good as they anticipate going forward.
Let's talk about some of the names you want to see stand out in the offseason going into next year. Some guys that stood out this year that weren't really on the radar screen before. Who do you like and who do you expect to hear next summer and into next fall?
Well, you know, Mike Brown. You know, I mentioned on several times I thought the wide receiving core, they were a small group. Now, when I said that, I think it was more so about physicality. Mike Brown brings some physicality. When you don't have Justin Blackmon, of course, I think Mike Brown brings a certain level of intensity and physicality to that wide receiving core. Hopefully he'll, you know, get an opportunity. Kerry Taylor, he stood out, you know, as a wide receiver. As a possible threat to compete also out there. Avery Jones at the defensive tackle, young guy. He showed flashes of being able to hang in there and be a standout in the middle. Reynolds, the rookie. I look for him to be competitive at that linebacker position. Todman, I mean, these guys all perform well enough going into this training camp to legitimately compete for positions that are, I would say, open. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
And Bradfield and Pat Sewers, you got to say that the tackles, you know, when you get Joko back next year, those two guys will be competing for a spot.
I believe
against each other.
Yeah,
so.
And I think Pastor has the edge because he's been on the right side all year. And Bradfield's not a bad guy to have as a swing guy back.
So, those guys were very impressive in the way that they stepped in and played. You know, I think they did a pretty good job in defending, protecting the quarterback.
Marco, well done all season long.
Oh, same to you, JP.
For sure. See you next year.
Yes, sir.
That's it for Jaguars postgame. That's it for the 2013 season. The Senior VP of Communications for the Jaguars is Dan Edwards. Executive Producer of Jaguars Radio, Mark Dorwart. Manager of Jaguars Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tim B., Linda Fortunato, and Ed Rocco are the producers. Anchor of Jaguars pregame is Kevin Rafuse. And Jay Gray has been the Jaguars pregame reporter. Scoreboard show locally coming up in just a moment for Marco Coleman, Brent Martineau, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Brian Sexton. This is J.P. Shadrick for the final time saying good night. Once again, the final score, 30-10, Colts over the Jags. Jags finished 4-12 in 2013. That's it for this season on the Jaguars Radio Network.